You're listening to a podcast by Martin Scott. Thanks for joining me today. Our subject, eschatology. Books, speculation, time charts, definite predictions, escape routes. What a minefield. How do we respond? I hope we can discover a healthy framework to shape our perspectives. Sit back, listen, be provoked, and enjoy. So let's get on with today's topic. In this podcast, I'm going to pick up with a very prolific writer, Hal Lindsey, and then finally close off with a summary of the dispensationalist scheme. So here we go. Writers such as Hal Lindsey, particularly with the encouragement of the foundation of the State of Israel in 1948, have seen in this step the clear fulfillment of Scripture, and they've developed an expectation of a revival among Jews and an imminent return of Christ. So it's to Hal Lindsey that I want to turn the latter part of this podcast. He's a prolific writer, and he's one who claims to be able to interpret current events in the light of prophetic Scriptures. He is a major influencer on the dispensationalist believers. His books include Late Great Planet Earth, 1970, There's a New World Coming, 1973, The 1980s Countdown to Armageddon, 1980, The Final Battle, 1994, Planet Earth, 2000 AD, 1994, and again in 1996, Apocalypse Code, 1997, Planet Earth, The Final Chapter, 1998. Now, some of those books are rewrites of earlier titles and updates. It's inevitable that there have been revisions regarding the predictions in the book. That's inevitable whenever you try to make current events fit into biblical prophecy. Here's some examples of the revisions. In 1980, Countdown to Armageddon, page 7. The goal of this book is not merely to show which prophecies have been fulfilled since Late Great Planet came out in 1970, however, even more important, it's intended to analyze what will occur in the decade we have just entered. The decade of the 1980s could very well be the last decade of history as we know it. Well, we're a few decades on from there. 1998, decade of the 80s now gone, he wrote Planet Earth, The Final Chapter. This book does not dwell on the past, it looks to the future, because we are so close to the final climactic stages of world history. It is considerably easier today for the student of Bible prophecy to see with some accuracy what's coming next. I am certain the second advent will occur in the next few years, probably in your lifetime. The first book I quoted from, written in 1980, predicts the 80s as the final decade. The second, written in 1998, pushes it a few years forward. Given that we're now a few years beyond 1998, we might be due a new prediction. He's consistently held to the interpretive perspective that the current generation is the one the Bible is talking about when it comes to the fulfillment of Scripture. It's clear that the Bible cannot be talking about any other time in history but today, he says. No man knows the day or hour this dramatic climax is going to occur, but there can be little doubt that this is the generation. It could start tomorrow. That's writing Lindsey, Planet Earth, 2000 AD, in the 1994 edition, page 151. He interprets current nations as being the nations in the Bible, such as the Palestinians become the Philistines of Scripture. Lebanon is the Tyre of old. See that in his book, The Final Chapter, 1998. That's without warrant. To suggest that the Palestinians are the Philistines on the basis of language would make as much sense as saying that the Americans are the Arameans of the Bible. The apocalyptic visions of Revelation, he says, are to be taken literally, or at least literally, once we've reinterpreted them through his understanding. John, he says, did not have language to describe what he saw, so with Lindsey's guidance, we know that John's locusts are really helicopters. Horses prepared for battle, well, they're heavily armed attack helicopters. Crowns of gold, they're the helmets worn by pilots. And the sound of their wings are the thunderous sound of many attack helicopters flying overhead. That's his Apocalypse Code, 1997. The bow wielded by the Antichrist in Revelation 6, 1-2 is apparently intercontinental ballistic missiles. page 72 of Apocalypse Code. This type of interpretation is what makes the books he writes popular, but also, I believe, very dangerous. Popular because the reader now has inside information as to the progress of history, and dangerous because there's no desire to bring about any level of change to the world we live in. The world is hurtling towards destruction, but wonderfully the believer will be raptured from the scene, thus avoiding all the troubles. Regarding celebration for the new millennium, Lindsay wrote this: "Just for the record, I'm not planning to attend. In fact, looking at the state of the world today, I couldn't make any long-term earthly plans. We may be caught up to meet Christ in the clouds between now and then, just as I described in an earlier chapter. Could I be wrong? Of course. The rapture may not occur between now and the year 2000, but never before in the history of the planet have events and conditions so coincided as to set the stage for this history-stopping event. I want to spend the final page of this book discussing what I expect to see happen in the hours and minutes we have left." That's the Planet Earth, 2000 AD, written in 1994, page 306. The imminence of the end times can be seen in Lindsay's assertions that the Antichrist is alive in Europe and imminently getting ready. Here are a number of quotes from his writings. "I believe this man is alive today, alive and waiting to come forth. I believe this leader is alive somewhere in Europe. Perhaps he is already a member of the EEC Parliament. 1970, he wrote that. "He will immediately rise to prominence in the EEC, and from that post he will offer the world amazing solutions to all its complex and terrifying problems. Because of his superhuman powers and his solutions to the world conflicts, the Antichrist will be chosen to lead the EEC. EEC is the European Economic Community. That's the countdown to Armageddon, he wrote in 1980. "The Antichrist will head up what will evolve into a 10-nation confederacy, and he'll be a man of such magnetism and power that he'll become the greatest dictator the world has ever known. He is alive today. There is a potential dictator waiting in the wings somewhere in Europe who will make Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin look like choir boys. Right now, he is preparing to take his throne, inflaming his soul with visions of what he will do, what he will be able to do for mankind with his grand schemes and revolutionary ideas. He's alive and well on planet Earth. Let's go meet him." That he wrote, 1980's countdown to Armageddon. The year he wrote it was 1980. Now, I'm not seeking to discuss all the details of these various authors, from Irving, Darby, Schofield, through Lindsay. What I'm trying to do is to try and track the development of the theology to show how influential it is and to show how embedded it's become within much Christian thought. So let's just touch now on a brief overview of the dispensationalist program for the end. Daniel's vision of the 70 weeks, you read Daniel 9, 24 to 27, is a key. "Sometimes toward the end of the 69th week, the anointed one would be cut off," that being a reference to Jesus. "There then ensues a gap in the time sequence with the 70th week remaining future." Now, each of these 70 weeks is apparently a time of 7 years. So there's a 7-year period that has not yet begun, but is future. This break in the 70 weeks is absolutely key to dispensational pattern and thinking, although there's nothing in the text that gives that idea at all. And it's in this gap that the church age is experienced. At the end of the church age, there will be the secret rapture, which is the church being taken to heaven. Then the final 7 years begins to unfold. The final 7 years of history as we know it. Now, there are some who hold that the church is raptured halfway through that final week, so 3.5 years into it. I'm seeking to simplify things here. The church is raptured away, 7 years take place on earth, but the supper of the Lamb takes place in heaven. The presence of the Spirit is removed from the earth, and it's in this setting that Antichrist appears, and in the middle of this final week he comes and destroys the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. He then gathers the armies together to fight Israel, and the Battle of Armageddon takes place. At the time of the battle is the second coming of Jesus, who destroys those forces that have gathered against Israel. and this is normally understood as a literal battle. Through the persecution that took place, the Jews are now able to receive Jesus as Messiah. Following on from this battle is the millennial kingdom of 1,000 years established with all nations subjected to the Davidic king, Jesus. During the millennial rule, people will be born, they'll also die. Some will not be turned to Jesus, so at the end of the period when Satan is released one more time, he's able then to deceive the nations, and there is yet another final battle. Revelation 20 is what outlines this, and that's how it is interpreted. Following this, there's a final judgment. Eternity then dawns, with the church enjoying God's presence in the new heaven, and Israel the promises to David and the kingdom on the new earth. Now, there are many variations on this, on that scheme, of course, but what I'm giving you is sufficiently typical. When another pattern comes that's a little different, it can still be seen to be shaped by dispensationalism. So we've come to the end of our looking at dispensationalism per se. We're going to have to critique it in more detail, and in the next podcast, I will specifically tackle the issue of a secret rapture and the lack of foundation, not just within history, but the lack of foundations within Scripture itself. You've been listening to a podcast from Martin Scott. Check out the website at www.3generations.eu. I look forward to talking to you again in the near future.